Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. Stepping all over my own deck of yeah. What's going on? Welcome. I am Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Come and get some. What's going on? How's your Friday going? Are you ready for the weekend? Let's make sure we leave it all out there. Come strong. Go strong. Finish. Make sure these next 3 hours count. I do my job. You do your job. We go into the weekend, and then it's all good. And on top of that, we have a self-gloss Friday. Let me lay out the program for you. Telephone number first, 1-800-636-8686. Take advantage of it. Maybe you're waiting for the self-gloss segment. If that's the case, it's going to be at the top of hour number two. So you've got 1 hour to get yourself in. Self-gloss Friday, top of hour two. I'll lay out exactly how that works, how we're going to do that, why we're going to do that. But for right now, know this. One segment only, and it's the top of hour number two. In the meantime, coming up next segment, a conversation with the GM of the Tampa Bay Rays, Eric Neander. Self-gloss segment, top of the second hour. 40 past hour number two, a second baseman for the Milwaukee Brewers, Keston Hira. Fired up to have him on. Product of UC Irvine. He's a SoCal. Milwaukee Brewers second baseman, Keston Hira, 1040 Pacific. In hour number three, NFL.com and NFL media reporter and columnist, Mike Silver. And did I mention, self-gloss Friday, top of hour number two. It's a Friday, so for the third time this week, the big head is in, James Kelly. Not only is James Kelly in the house, he is screening phone calls. Not only can you see him on CBS Sports Network and the unbelievable circumference of his forehead, you can talk to him directly, free of charge. Call 1-800-636-8686. All right, let me start you off on a Friday with, wait for it, baseball. Let's be real. This has not been the year that the Philadelphia Phillies were expecting. It has not been the year that Bryce Harper was expecting. Neither has lived up to the hype or the expectation thus far. As an example, as a team, you do not go out and add a collection of all-stars, including Harper, at $330 million, just so you can be part of the wild card race in August. That's not what you do. If you're going to add that kind of talent, that kind of money, you do it to win divisions and to stack rings. But for any number of reasons, it has not worked out that way. Not so far. Not for the Phils and not for Harper. This entire season has been one step forward, two steps back. They're just not getting it done. They're not getting it done. He's not getting it done. They're not. He's not. In fact, winning the first two games of this series against the Cubs was one of the rare times that they've actually won back-to-back games this year against a team over 500. They just have not been able to string together wins against good teams. So last night was no shock. They had a chance to sweep Chicago, and then they promptly fall behind 5-0. Through five innings, Yu Darvish was dealing for the Cubs. Philadelphia could not get anything going. It makes sense. Again, for some reason, the Phillies this season, they just can't have nice things. They can win two games in a row against the Cubs, but then they're looking at losing Jake Arrieta for the season. Even the power of the sweet baby blue throwback unis were not enough to get Philadelphia's bats going, or bringing back old man Charlie Manuel. Now, they did add a run. They made it 5-1 in the bottom of the eighth. Then they pushed across a couple of more in the ninth to make it look a little better than it actually was. And then Bryce Harper came to the plate with the bases juiced. He fouls off the first two pitches. He takes a couple of balls. He fouls off another pitch. And then this.
With the bases loaded and one out.
Harper, oh my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk off home run. Grand slam, Bryce Harper. Wow. The Phillies have come from behind to win it 7-5. Six runs here in the
beautiful come from behind victory. It's a stunned Cubs team that has been swept out of Philadelphia.
Walk off grand slam, win the game, sweep the series, one back in the wild card chase. Thanks for coming. And again, if we're being real, that was freaking electric. That's what they brought him there to do. That's why they're paying him over $300 million for moments like that. Did you hear John Kruk? Kruk is a dude who could really swing it. Kruk is a dude who did it in Philadelphia. Even Kruk lost his mind. Quote, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Dude sounded like you just saw a UFO or Randy Johnson. Or somebody told Kruk to take down his glorious, greasy mullet back in the day. Cut that thing, John. Oh my God. Like, I don't know if the baseballs are juiced or not. I don't even care. That was a bomb. An absolute moonshot. I wasn't sure if that was going to come down. The stats on that thing do not tell the entire story. In fact, if ever you've been wondering if the numbers lie, this is a time where the numbers lie. Because the numbers were 113 mph exit velo, 40 degree launch angle, 413 feet. I mean, 413 feet. Are you kidding me? If I told you somebody hit a ball 413 feet, that would sound pretty nice, but nothing to get worked up about. The only reason that ball went 413 feet was because the second deck of the stadium stopped it from going 1,000 feet. Can you run that back one more time for me?
With the bases loaded and one out.
Oh, my God.
Deep to right field. Way!
Again, Harper has not had the season that he would have liked, but there are few people on this planet who can tie into a ball the way he did. Man, that was smoked. And the only thing faster than the ball leaving the yard was Harper's trip around the bases. He took off like it was going to be an inside-the-park job instead of one that could have gone 1,000 feet. He took off like somebody had put $330 million on home plate for him. He nearly caught up to Rhys Hoskins, who was ahead of him on the bases. And then there was the post-game interview. And if you thought that Bryce was going to have calmed down by the time they got to him on the field, you'd be wrong.
Take me through that emotion. You knew you had it as soon as you hit it. The celebration afterward. Here it comes. Here it comes. How good of a feeling is that?
That was sick. Wow. I don't even know. I mean, that was awesome. Oh, my gosh. I saw my parents' lights are off in the suite right now, so they probably didn't see that. So thanks, Mom and Dad. Appreciate you.
They're going to have to go back and check out the replay. I have a feeling we're going to see that a couple of times, but take me through that event. They bring the left-hander in to face you. The bases are loaded. Guys doing their jobs in front of you. They get you to the plate. What are you thinking at that moment?
Yeah, Holly's good against lefties. You know, he's always, you know, throw that sinker in, slider down and away, cutter thing that he has. So he's really trying to get a sinker that he misses over the plate, and I kind of cheated to that.
Anyway, that was sick. Wow. You know what that was? That was needed. Not just for the Phillies, not just for Harper, but for baseball. Because Bryce Harper is on that short list of guys in baseball who can give you that kind of electricity. That's why he's a superstar, even when he's not putting up superstar numbers. That was sick. Wow.
That was sick. Wow.
He needs more of that. The Phillies need more of that. Baseball needs more of that. Everyone needs more of that, except for the Cubs, who, while looking at being swept, still could not make a 5-run lead stand up. Man, handle your bully, Joe Maddon. Go sacrifice a goat or do whatever it is you do that allegedly makes you Joe Maddon. Because what you did right there ain't going to cut it. Boy, they needed that. Bryce needed that. Phillies needed that. Everybody needed that except for the Cubs. 1-800-636-8686. You know how I know they needed that? Because I led the show with baseball, which felt good. All right, some other things I want to talk about. I want to get into DeMarcus Cousins and the fact that he suffered a third major injury in about a year and a half. And I think that if you're one of those people who immediately thought, oh man, what does that mean to the Lakers? What does that mean for their championship chances? What does that mean for who's going to play the five? Bron ain't going to do it. The Brow made it very clear when he showed up. He just don't want to do it. JaVale can't handle all those minutes. If that's where your mind went, either you work for the Lakers, you're pulling a paycheck from the Lakers, or you need to look in the mirror. That's coming up a little bit later on. In addition to that, I want to talk NFL. You check out last night's preseason action. We're into week two. Week two of the NFL exhibition season started last night. It had all that requisite buzz and hype and penalties. Lots of penalties. Hell of a lot of penalties. Weird penalties, bad penalties, penalties for clapping. I'll break that down for you. We had Dana White in studio yesterday. Dana White, every time he shows up on this program, makes news, drops some knowledge, does what he does. He's a great show. He's great content. Dana really had a great day, though, in studio yesterday in terms of what he shared with us. I want to recap that. Oh, Self-Gloss Friday. I've got a self-gloss segment. I'm not sure we are ever going to do this ever again. Fact. I thought we would never do it again. But then I got into the Hall of Fame, and I owed you clones something. So as a way to give it back, pay it forward, I'm going to let you self-gloss. And it starts at the top of hour number two. It's not an entire day. It's only one segment. What's up, James Kelly?
Hey.
Stephen Crowtown tweets, Lenny Dykstra is furiously looking in nearby alleyways for that Bryce Harper home run ball along with half-smoke heaters. Yeah, I don't know. My man turned on that. Say what you want about Harper. Maybe you like him. Maybe you hate him. Maybe you don't care. Maybe it's neither here nor there. That was an electric moment. A great moment. He smoked that.
Deep to right.
I got to admit, I don't know what I would have said if I were in the broadcast booth, but I pretty much thought, like John Kruk, like, oh my God, damn. Dude turned on that. Probably don't want to be the guy. I mean, like, that'll happen. It's Major League Baseball. Probably do not want to be the cat giving up that bomb. Lefty on lefty, too. I've got Eric Neander coming up next segment. Keston Hira, Brewers second baseman, next hour. What's up, Adam Hawk?
What's up, Jen?
Wah, wah. Wells in the 360 tweets, I can help you promote the upcoming self-gloss segment. Signed, Johnny Car Insurance.
I know what it's like to not know where your next paycheck is coming from.
War Johnny Car Insurance, putting he rate me on the back of his XFL jersey. Eric Neander joins me when we come back. Stay tuned. Summer is here, so is the unbearably hot weather. So think about how much time you spend in the sun over the summer. Then think about how much time your car is getting that heat, and you're inside that car. You know the heat can just suck the life right out of you, right? Imagine then what it does to your car. Summer heat can be very draining on your vehicle's battery. In fact, even more so than the harsh winter months. Summer is worse. Heat more than cold can shorten your battery's life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate. It leads to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now. Have your battery tested free of charge. If that battery does need replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or your truck, and you'll get it at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com, O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, so not only is it a self-gloss Friday, but some of the monsters, some of the legends are going to come in and participate. That's coming up next hour. I mentioned that it's good to talk baseball. We started the program by talking about Philadelphia coming back on Chicago last night. Bryce Harper turning on that and hitting a walk-off grand slam. Electric, electric moment. Let's talk some more baseball. We are joined now by a senior VP of baseball operations. He's also the general manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. He was named to that position in November of 2016. The Rays have increased win totals by double digits each year since he was named to that position. Tampa Bay is 71-51. They're holding on to the second wild card spot. They're hosting Detroit tonight, 7:10 p.m. Eastern. Eric Neander is my guest. Eric, it is really good to have you on. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It is great to talk to you, Eric. Thanks so much. Now, you're coming off a loss on Wednesday in San Diego. Eric, this snapped a five-game winning streak. I know you're never going to be thrilled with a loss, but when you go 5-1 on a road trip, does that still feel like a really nice West Coast swing?
Yeah, it does. It doesn't feel quite as good when you have the opportunity to go 6-0 at the end, but anytime getting out, and especially going west across the country like that and all that comes with it, to take a 5-1 right there, and some of the injuries we have and being a bit depleted, we'll sign up for that any day of the week, and it's what we needed.
You know what? I'm going to talk about the injuries, Eric, in 1 minute, but tonight you've got Charlie Morton on the mound against Detroit. Over the course of the season, he's been among the AL leaders in so many categories. I can make the argument that he's one of the best free agent signings of the offseason. What do you make of how he's pitched since arriving with the team?
Yeah, I think we'd make that case ourselves. He's been wonderful. It's a remarkable late career, so to speak, resurgence for him, and he's battled through a lot of injuries. It's taken him time to, I think, to find him his best self as a talent. But what he's done the last couple of years in Houston, we've really seen him pick up with us where he left off with them, and has remained healthy, has remained stronger, and frankly, I think has continued to get better. So he's been a horse for us. It's everything that we could have asked for and hoped for on the field, and has been at least as much of that off the field as a leader and mentor for our young group. We're really excited that he's wearing our uniform.
Eric Neander is my guest. Now, Eric, from the outside, the thinking was the American League East was going to be the Red Sox, who were the defending World Series champs, and the Yankees coming off a 100-win season, so it was going to be a two-horse race, and it's been exactly that, right? A two-horse race between the Yankees and you. What has this season been like for you personally?
I'm not ruling out a third horse here at some point, but it's been fun. We've enjoyed it. Last year, we felt going into last season that we had a chance to be competitive. While I think the outside expectations were about as low as they've ever been, we ended up getting to a spot winning 90 games and validated a lot of the decisions, a lot of the work that our staff's put in. And this year, the expectations were up off of those 90 wins. And that was part of why we went out and signed Charlie Morton and made a couple of the other moves that we did. To be in a position now where we're trending towards winning games somewhere in the mid-90s and being in the mix for a postseason spot, that's what we were expecting. But that doesn't make it that much any less enjoyable when you're in the middle of it. So we've got some work still here ahead of us, but we're really pleased with where our club's at and certainly what they've battled through to get here.
In fact, to that point, what they battled through to get here, one of the guys I spoke with earlier in the season was Tyler Glasnow. He was so dominant, but then he went down with injury. Blake Snell is working his way back from injury. So, Eric, when you deal with injuries like that, it seems to me that it might be easy for guys to think, we got off to a really nice start, but we lost two great pitchers. And then either consciously or maybe unconsciously give in a little, but it doesn't seem like anybody's done that. What's that say about the chemistry and the mentality that you have in that clubhouse?
It says a lot. We have a reputation as an analytically oriented organization, and a lot of our decisions are influenced that way. But this is something that from the players that have grown up in our system, competed together, won together, and the guys we brought in from the outside, this is a special group, and the chemistry and the way that they can pick each other up is something that has been the forefront of a lot of our decisions. But it's very much been a next man up mentality. We put our roster together with having depth on hand in mind to combat some of these issues, maybe not quite as many as we've had, but the Yankees are doing the same thing right now. But for them to compete the way they are and to take it day to day and to continue to show up with the energy they have, that's all we can ask for this time of year.
You know, Eric, talking to you for a few minutes, I know you're not going to make it about you, but let me make it about you for a minute because your road to this spot to me is pretty amazing. Let's go back to high school. You were growing up in upstate New York. You played a number of sports. What was life like for you at that point?
I'll try to get it off me as soon as I can. But I will. I grew up like many kids, I think, across the country. In a rural town, Oneonta, New York, 20 minutes from Cooperstown. There's a lot of baseball in the area. Baseball was a passion of mine, and I had visions of playing at least into college, and that probably would have been the end of it. But some health issues and some surgeries that went the wrong way took the opportunity to play off the table. But, after experimenting and thinking about a different variety of career paths, just the itch for baseball was was strong and never let it go and found my way back to it.
You know, that was the short version of that story, and that was you trying to get it off you. But the fact is, even with the injuries and the surgery, you still hit over 500 as a senior, and you went to Virginia Tech, and it would have been great to play some baseball. But early in your time there, you were studying engineering, both aerospace and mechanical. Eric, not exactly the classic preparation for a front office job in baseball. I mean, at that point, when you were studying those things, what was your plan?
Yeah, to try to get as far away from baseball as possible, perhaps.
Right.
Once playing was no longer a possibility, I think it was to take a crack at what else there was in the world, and enjoyed math, enjoyed science, and wandered through college trying to figure out another path and another passion, and I couldn't find it, and ultimately I got reconnected with the staff there at Virginia Tech, and they were great to me at the time and let me work some camps, and the itch for baseball came back, and off it went, and fortunate to have ended up with an opportunity here.
I was going to say, Eric, so really quickly, so how did you end up with that opportunity? How did you find your way to the Rays as an intern? How did you find your way back in?
Yeah, asked a lot of questions, reached out to a lot of people, got a lot of no's, including from here. But I think, you know, initially had a lot of interest in coaching. That was the motivation. And I connected with a few people on the pro side of the game that worked in Major League Baseball front offices. And the more I learned about it, the more I got to enjoy. I think, you know, you have the subject matter of baseball, but the intellectual stimulation that comes with a lot of the work from a front office perspective really, really clicked for me, and began to reach out and establish contacts, seek just as much advice and an understanding of how it works as possible. And through that, did not succeed in my first attempt for an internship, nor my second, but about a year or so after school and taking a few other jobs and so on, they were maybe they gave up and decided, fine, come in for a few months and off you go. So I got in the door initially trying to help build the database here with James Click, who's a coworker of mine here, and not anything that I would have ever expected to be my entry point to baseball, but that's what it was, and tried to make the most of it from there.
That's how you do it. You just got to find a way in. So finally, you're not just looking to have a nice season. You were there when the Rays went to the World Series back in 08. You know what that feels like. You want to get back there. Does this team feel like one that can not only reach the postseason, but make some noise once you get there?
Yeah, we're hopeful, especially if we can keep our heads above water here, and that's not going to be any easy feat on its own. There are more teams playing well in the American League right now than there are spots, and Oakland's very much in this mix, and I'm going to refuse to believe that, you know, Boston's in that mix, and we'll refuse to believe otherwise until it's just impossible to believe otherwise. But I think once we get there, the fact that Blake, Tyler Glass now, Yanni Chirinos, some of our horses here, Brandon Lau on the position player side, we're hopeful to get these guys back in some capacity in mid-September. If that's the case, then the experiences and the growth of the group we've had while some of those guys have been out, combined with getting those guys back, it'll force some creativity to get the most out of everybody, but really, really like what we might be able to do with a roster that's more healthy than what we have right now.
He is the senior VP of baseball operations, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, and they are 71-51. They've got the second wild card spot right now, and they're at home tonight against Detroit. Eric Neander, my guest. Eric, so good to visit with you. Thanks for taking the time to do so. That was great.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate it as well.
Me too, Eric. Thank you very much. Appreciate you sharing your story.
Absolutely.
And they're having a big year, really big year. 1-800-636-8686. The Rays have got some jungle karma now. They're a good karma team. Self-gloss segment's going off. All right, so it's going to play out at the top of the hour. I mentioned before the interview, and again, my thanks to Eric Neander. I mentioned before the interview, not only do I expect dozens of you to try to get through, but some monsters, some of the biggest players in the game, want to take part. This email says, Romy Rome, the big day is finally here. We get to listen to a bunch of tweakers come up with self-gloss to come out in left field and laugh our asses off at them. I still fondly remember the self-gloss segment from 5.5 years ago with the likes of Crystal Methodist, Bobby Brisket, and my personal favorite, the Frosty Sasquatch. I can't wait to hear what these fools come up with today. War Today's self-gloss segment being just as good as or better than the one you allowed back in 2014. War me self-glossing on the email as the Tiger Hawk, since I'm the biggest Hawkeye honk in the jungle. Tony from Iowa City, henceforth known as the Tiger Hawk. They just keep coming. This one, dear Jimmers, please tell me the zookeeper is on hold, waiting for the self-gloss segment. There is nothing more in this world that I want than to hear the rest of that wedding weekend story. Regards, Seth in Western Mass via the Maine coast currently. War the story having something to do with the zookeeper bleeping the bridal party. Everybody always wants to know, hey, why was he glossed the zookeeper? Why do you all want to know that when we all already know why he was glossed the zookeeper? Here's what I'll do. The actual segment is at the top of hour number two, meaning when we come back, I will lay out how this is going to go. There are parameters. There is still a line. You can't just do what you want to do. I'm not killing your buzz. It still can work, but it's got to work a certain way. Next hour, Brewers second baseman, Keston Hira. First, I have got a bottom of hour number one sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Friday, always an ATP day. Ask the Pros. So you want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit a question there. I will answer one of them at the end of the program. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It's time. Nearly time. Almost go time. Self-gloss Friday is officially here. It officially starts on air next segment, but the day itself is officially here. Now, before we get into this, let me first inform the uninformed on what the hell self-glossing is and why it's not allowed. And then I'm going to remind all of you as to why we're doing this today. And we haven't done this in more than 5 years. I banned it. In fact, I banned it a long time ago. Self-glossing is exactly what it sounds like. It's giving yourself a nickname, a handle, an alias. It is strictly forbidden in the jungle because it's lame. It's baggy. If I allowed it, everybody would do it, and it would be a horrible program. So if your name is Steve on your government-issued ID, then your name is Steve around here. It's not Super Steve. It's not Steve the Stud. It's not Stevie Sports Takes. It's just Steve. You're Steve. You do not get to award yourself gloss. Not here. You can't self-gloss. You have to earn the gloss. The jungle needs to organically bestow upon you a unique handle. If you earn it. If you merit it. If you warrant it. You know, Raider Mike. Dr. Dave, The Sparrow, Ike, Flight Deck, The BIC, The Laguna Beach Bully, Ira Craig, hell, even Parody Larry. These are all gloss that have come to be organically. They're all a product of the program. None of those guys came in here and said, hey, Rome, call me this. None of them asked for it. It just happened. That's why it works. So, that's why that works. That's how that works. Question then is, why am I letting you do it when I banned it years ago? Simple. You really, really want it. Now, I don't just give you things that you want, but I am in this case. I'm in the giving mood after all the love, all the support, and all the loyalty coming off the heels of the Radio Hall of Fame induction that came down 2 weeks back. You've been there for me, especially as it relates to the Hall of Fame. So now I'm going to be there for you, if only for a segment. But a segment of self-glossing. Now listen up. This part is important. You see these three letters, plastered above my head, hanging over me like a literal watching eye. Those three letters are CBS. CBS. CBS puts me on the air. CBS scratches my paychecks. It's a great company that I want to continue to work for. Permission to self-gloss does not mean permission to wreck my program. It does not mean permission to take food off my plate. Check your watch. It's daytime. Check your channel. Check your station. It is terrestrial radio, unless you're on satellite. Check your TV guide. Daytime cable. You see me working. What I'm saying is, I don't need 15 minutes of Frosty the Sasquatch calls. You know why that is? Because that's 15 minutes of me and Alvin and my boy Tom in New York just hammering the dump button. And understand this. There is a difference between getting run and getting dumped. You get run, everybody hears what you said right up until the moment LT rolls up on you and hammers you. But you get dumped, nobody hears what you said except me. Right, Siri?
You have a big dump.
You get dumped, nobody hears it but me and the XR4TI. So you don't get to take a victory lap on Twitter. You don't get to hear yourself on Stucknut after the fact. Because nobody actually hears what you tried to do because we dumped it. This is why the dump button exists. Keep that in mind. Even in a self-gloss segment, there is still a line. There is always a line. And while I am going to lift the ban on self-glossing, nobody is lifting the line or erasing or ignoring the line. So, top of the hour. You want to call right now. And like the smack off, just because you're in it doesn't mean you get on the air. No promises. We're doing this one segment. I don't care how good it is. We're not going to carry it a second segment. It's one segment. 1-800-636-8686. Get yourself in the rotation. And with all that being said, a sincere thank you once again for all the well wishes coming off the Hall of Fame. Now, let me square up the debt of gratitude, and get you some self-glossing at the top of the hour. 1-800-636-8686. All right, going back to yesterday really quickly. Huge weekend for Dana White with UFC coming to town. Anaheim tomorrow night. Dana did what Dana does. He showed up on the program yesterday, except this time he showed up in studio, dropped some knowledge, made some news. It's got a great, great card. It's a great card in part because the great Nate Diaz is making his triumphant return after 3 years away. Man, I miss this guy. I think anybody who likes that sport misses Nate because you never know what you're going to get with Nate. For instance, he started smoking during a public workout this week. What was he smoking? Was it tree? Was it CBD? Had Dana White ever seen anything like that, even from Nate Diaz? What was your reaction when you saw Nate and then when he passed it to the fans?
I don't know what to say. I didn't expect to ever see that, in the sport or any sport. But, you can always expect the unexpected with the Diaz brothers.
So, in other words, that's just Nate being Nate. Nate doing Nate Diaz things. Dana says Nate is an unbelievable dude until it's time to do business with Nate.
I've always had a great relationship with the kid. Business-wise, he's an absolute nightmare.
How so?
I saw an interview with him that he did with ESPN the other day where he's saying he's never turned down a fight. Let me just explain something to you and the fans. By contract, I owe every fighter on my roster three fights a year. If I do not, get them a fight, three fights in a one-year period, I owe them. I have to pay them. I've never paid them. I've never paid Nate Diaz to not fight.
To not fight.
So it's never happened. So let's just There's the facts, right? So when he says he doesn't turn down fights, of course you turn down fights. Or I'd be paying you a ton of money every year to not fight.
All right, so the other news of the day was Conor McGregor sucker punching some old dude in a bar. It's not totally clear why he did it, only that he did it. Because when I suggested to Dana that Conor allegedly sucker punched this old dude, Dana quickly corrected me.
All right, so what's your reaction to that? For those who missed this, there's a video of Conor allegedly punching an elderly man.
Not allegedly. It's pretty clear.
And by the way, you're right. I take that back. Yeah. There's nothing alleged about that. He caught him with a left. Yeah. He caught him with a left hand. We know what kind of damage he does with that left hand. What was your reaction when you saw the video?
So apparently this was in a pub in Ireland, and it was an argument over whiskey. You know, Conor has a whiskey now, and it was an argument over the whiskey, and Conor reaches out and hits him with a left hook. And yeah, I don't know the context of it. I don't know the entire story. But yeah, he punches a guy, an older man, in the face.
Now, as good as Conor was for business, and for a minute, Conor was the biggest thing in the world, he's been nothing but trouble inside and outside the octagon of late. So I asked Dana yesterday when he was in studio if he thinks that Conor simply is no longer worth the hassle.
When you deal with fighters, you know, guys who fight for a living, there's always something. There, you know, if you look at some of the greatest, Tyson, I mean, if you look at what Tyson went through at his peak, every time you take a guy who is a professional fighter and you sprinkle a ton of money on top of it, get ready. Get ready for a disaster. Literally a disaster.
Well, that was a disaster.
You know what, Jim? You get to the point where you look at a guy like Conor, and you look at the bus incident in New York, right? And all the other things, camera, the phone, the guy took the picture of him in Miami and he slaps the phone. What's the number? What's it going to cost Conor McGregor before he decides, all right, this isn't worth it. Enough is enough. I need to stop doing this. You know, the incident in New York cost him millions.
What's it going to cost before Conor checks himself? So if Conor is now the very definition of high maintenance, then the champ Daniel Cormier is just the opposite. This dude is a dream to work with, one of the best to ever do it, and one of the best to ever deal with. Hell, he's so good, Dana says the president himself called Dana White about DC.
What's crazy is, after the first fight, 2 days later, the president called me.
And
said, there's no way you saw that coming. You didn't see that coming. Nobody saw that coming. That's that.
Our president?
Our president of the United States called me and was blown away that Cormier knocked out Stipe. Uh-huh. Like, who saw that coming?
What did you tell the president?
I said Daniel Cormier is one of the all-time greats, you know? Never lost at heavyweight, moved down to light heavyweight because his best friend, Cain Velasquez, was a heavyweight, and he didn't want to mess with his division. Moved to light heavyweight, cleaned out that division. His only loss is to John Jones, whom I believe and many other believe is the greatest to ever do it.
All right, so look, with Dana White, obviously he's got a roster of fighters, but business is business. I'm sure he can't get too close to any of his fighters. That said, DC told me before I spoke to Dana yesterday that tomorrow night could be his last night ever in the octagon. That is something Dana White is well aware of, and he admits he is dreading.
How does he beat Stipe more impressively than he did the first time, right? So what's the upside for Daniel Cormier in this rematch with Stipe? That's why I respect this guy so much. You don't ever hear any complaining, no crying. I didn't want this fight. He just goes out and does what he does. I dread the day Daniel Cormier leaves. He's still going to be my commentator and doing things with us. But as a fight fan and as a fan of Cormier, I dread the day.
Dana White in studio yesterday. One of his best performances ever on this program. And a big weekend in Anaheim. UFC coming up. Pay-per-view. When we come back, clones, it is time. It is go time. Self-gloss time. Start dialing 1-800-636-8686. Self-gloss Friday starts in less than 10 minutes. Hit us up.